Hi guys, and welcome back to Sisters in the City with me, Anna Vakili.
And me, Mandy Vakili.
And today's episode, look, it's not going to be about tits, dicks and relationships and stuff.
Like tits, dicks and relationships, is that right?
Like sex, tits, dicks and relationships. It's not going to be a funny episode. We really hope that our loyal listeners will actually listen to this episode because it's something that's very close to our hearts. It's something that's happening in Iran right now.
Yeah, so it's not going to be that much of an upbeat one, but we are still going to do this episode this week. And we're going to keep it quite short in honor and respect for our country and what it's going through right now, the turmoil it's in.
We just wanted to like kind of give a little background of what's happened, what Iran was like before, what's going on now, and yeah, just basically just a little overview of everything.
Yeah, so if you guys are kind of in tune with like what's going on in social media, there's been a hashtag or a trend of spreading awareness on a girl called Mahsa Amini. So she was a Kurdish girl, but in Iran. She was traveling to the capital of her family when she was stopped by the morality police in Iran. And just in case you didn't know, guys, hijab is mandatory in Iran. So it's a compulsory law where you have to cover your hair. We have morality police that basically patrol the streets and stop anyone who they think isn't wearing it inappropriately or not covering their hair enough.
So Mahsa Amini, she's 22 years old. She was with her family and she basically got stopped by the morality police. They dragged her into the van, took her to the police station. And what we know is that 2 hours later, the ambulance came and took her to a hospital. Her family said she had bruises all over her body and she was like in a coma, brain dead, for a few days before she passed away.
Yeah, so it was 2 days and she was beat to death. And I want to say that we're lucky that Mahsa Amini gained like global attention and media coverage because situations and incidents like this are happening every day in Iran.
All the time.
Is very common.
Yeah.
Girls getting beaten,
tortured, raped.
And killed because of not complying with mandatory hijab.
It's just like sometimes with social media, it's just sometimes luckily something gets kind of like shared.
And it just blows.
But
there's been some celebrities like Bella Hadid, Nikita Dragon that have posted it. And then it just sort of becomes, a trend to follow.
I'm not going
to
lie though, I'm shocked by the amount of like UK influencers that are not sharing it.
Yeah, and no matter how much I'm urging it on my stories and TikTok, please share this. If you are a woman and you have any belief in feminism, like the rights of a woman, the equality of a woman, the freedom of a woman, then you should be sharing this. Whether you're
Iranian or not, it doesn't matter.
Whether you're religious or not, whether you wear a hijab or not, I think why people should have jumped on this a lot more, like especially women, is because this is a sexist issue. You know, this isn't just a war or hunger. This is not something that's happening like around the world, which is sort of like part of like world nature. This is just very specifically targeted against women.
Yeah.
And that's why I really feel like all women should have shared this.
But hey, it is what
anyway,
it is.
So we want to talk about why Iran has this state where it basically imposes strict dress code on women. So 40 years ago, there was a revolution in Iran. It was the Islamic Revolution of Iran, 1979. And basically, before that, there was no compulsory hijab. There was no dress code. There was no strict regime.
Iran was basically, you know how like Dubai is right now? Everyone goes there for holidays. It's a tourist destination. It was the popping place in the Middle East. Like everybody would go there, even from Europe, to travel on a holiday. It was a rich country. The women and men, there would be clubs, bars. Girls would wear skirts. We had a king and a queen.
Yeah, so the royal family was overthrown in this revolution and it was basically replaced with like Islamic clerics, which lied to the population of Iran and said that the country had become more free. Because even though we had a royal family, they were friends with like the royal family of England. And it was a very modern place with, you know, ladies were free to have, you know, wear bikinis and dress how they want and drink and whatever. It was still a dictatorship under the king of Iran. He had very cruel, torturing tactics that are probably still used today. He tortured many of his opposition, anyone that protests against him.
You see, Mandy, even I didn't know this. Like, I don't know much about, like, before the Islamic Revolution or even the revolution in itself, because I know you studied it a lot.
He was he was desperate to become a progressive Western country and that he aspired to be like America and Europe. And he was actually quite biased against like veils and hijabs.
So that's also really wrong.
Yeah. And I think it was his dad, actually, in 1936, it was illegal to wear a hijab in Iran, which is equally as oppressive and wrong. So at that point in 1936, women were physically unveiled if they went out into the street with a hijab. They were beaten by police in the street. They weren't given career opportunities. They were completely discriminated against, which is equally as...
That's mad. So it's literally like the opposite of now. So like before, the women that were wearing hijab were getting like beaten and tortured. Yeah. And now the women that don't wear it, like this both is equally as wrong. And this is what's really important because a lot of people now are saying that the fight against like the Islamic Republic of Iran is a fight against Islam, which it is not. It has nothing to do with Islam. It's about the Islamic Republic. It's the government. Islam doesn't say...
You should die if you don't wear a hijab.
Yeah, like you should die or torture women or rape women. That's all. They're using Islam as an excuse to do all these horrible things.
But I mean, they're making sure that they don't disclose that they're doing these things. Like it comes out, it leaks through the cracks that they're doing these rape and tortures, you know. They're caught on camera beating women in the street. They don't want to show that or portray that image to the rest of the world because they are scared about the retaliation of public outrage. Anyway, I just want to say, fast forward to 1979 when the revolution happened. People were so sick of like the king's dictatorship, even though obviously women were free and it was like, let's say like Dubai. There was a massive economic crisis. There was a lot of poverty. The gap between the rich and the poor, and obviously freedom of speech and torture by the king. So as a symbol of rebelling against the king, women, regardless of the seriousness or strictness of their religion, they were going out in protest wearing hijab because they knew how anti-hijab even that king was, the one in prior 1979, just like his father. And women were all protesting by wearing hijab and using like religion as a way of saying, like, don't force us to be westernized. Like, Iranian people are a majority Muslim from thousands of years. So that's what they were doing. And likewise, right now, the women in Iran are burning their hijab. And a lot of people find this insulting. But it's almost like the same thing, but the opposite.
Yeah.
You know, when they were being told, don't wear hijab, women were protesting by wearing hijab. Now they're forcing them to wear hijab. Women are burning their hijab. They're basically saying, they're using it as a symbol to say, we don't deserve to die for not wearing hijab. Even Muslim women are taking their hijab off and burning their hijab. And they're trying to say, don't kill us. Why are our daughters dying because of mandatory hijab? This is not Islamic. They're honestly trying to make a point. They're using it as a symbol.
And I put a TikTok up the other day of the protest. And in the protest, someone was burning the hijab. And I'm not joking. I had like Mandy, almost like 800 comments saying, oh my God, like, why are you putting someone burning the hijab? And I was like, oh my God. I just deleted the TikTok because I was like, I can't. People are not understanding what I think.
Look, when women are being killed because of compulsory hijab, the statement to make is, well, I'm going to cut my hair, I'm going to burn my hijab. You know, that's what they're trying to say. Even old women, like, you know, old women, young women, Muslim women, they're trying to say, you know, this is not right. This is not Islamic.
Yeah.
This is terrorism, you know? And that's why they're just using it as a symbol. And all the women are going now unscarved. Even women who probably would wear a scarf are taking their scarves off in protest.
Yeah.
And anyway, that's this current situation right now. And all these protests and riots have sparked from the death of Mahsa Amini.
And also, I just want to touch on the fact that after the Islamic Revolution, when they overtook the Shah, not only is it just that hijab is mandatory, that's not the only problem. There is so many other issues that are going on in Iran that they're fighting against. They are like, women have like so little rights compared to men. Women can be a lawyer and they can't ever become a judge. If you have a child with a woman in Iran after the age of 7, like it's that you have no rights to the child.
Custody, the custody goes to the man.
Custody goes
and
to the man.
And even if the dad passes away, custody goes to the dad's family. So imagine that you could be alive and well, your husband passes away, his family have more rights than you. Yeah, the discrimination, the legal discrimination against women is immense. Like, for example, 4 eyes of a woman in a courtroom as witnesses is equal to 2 pair of eyes of a man. Also, domestic violence is prevalent against women because their voice is so unheard, and men beating their wives is so overlooked. And there's a lot of honor killings and things like that. So anyway, and I'm going to pass over to you.
Iranian people are so full of life and culture, and They love to dance and party, and you know what I mean? They're just full of life, and all this restrictions are just the hardest thing for anybody, especially Iranians.
I think Iranians thought with the 1979 revolution, there'd be more freedom and of speech, and like there'd be a better economic life in Iran and whatever. But anyway, the Islamic clerics came into power and people were actually happy with that. They weren't upset with that. They were just a symbol of, okay, Islam, but free Islam, you know, freedom of choice. And anyway, after a few years, it was probably 1979 when the Islamic revolution happened. But in 1983 is when they started to pass the law of mandatory hijab. So that was like 4 to 5 years after the Islamic clerics came into power. So it was kind of like they almost got tricked and scammed into following these leaders and making a revolution happen. And then when that mandatory hijab law came into play, so you'd get lashes, 74 lashes, 60 days in prison and all this stuff, women immediately were protesting. And there's pictures of women, black and white photos online of women protesting, even men protesting against this all the way back then, 40 years ago, but obviously nothing could happen. And since then, it's just been complete tension, division and unrest in Iran. So many uprisings have happened
since then, yeah.
But they've been crushed down with the brutal retaliation of the government with torture, violence and killing. For example, in 2009,
there was the a green movement. Because there was an election where most Iranians voted. They didn't want Ahmadinejad to be, you know, the president, and they wanted Mousavi, but you know, they rigged the whole polling system and they said Ahmadinejad won the votes, which he didn't.
So people of Iran basically wanted a more liberal leader.
And then basically it was called the Green Movement, where everyone poured out onto the streets. We were having demonstrations here all over the world. Iranians were just, you know, saying we don't want this Islamic Republic.
And women were wearing green scarves, green flags. It was all a symbol of green for change. And basically, people were slaughtered in the streets, literally.
From what I know, I think there was more than 1,500 people died in the protests in Iran and the Green Movement. And I think, obviously, like, come on, think about it. Imagine if this was happening here and you'd have to literally risk your life and go out onto the streets. You know, it's scary. They shoot out into the protests and they just kill. There's a video of a woman called Neda from the Green Movement in Iran. She was literally standing there and she got shot. Her dad was just holding her lifeless body, and that also became a symbol in the Green Movement for Iran. It's scary. People eventually give up when people around them are just dying.
And yeah, you get scared.
So, it's like almost, you know, that what's that weird TV show, Mandy?
Purge.
No.
What?
Handmaid's Tale.
Handmaid's Tale.
Reminds me of that.
It's so scary.
You know, they're scared, obviously, for their lives. Like,
I've seen videos right now of military and the speakers coming out of the tank saying, anyone out of the house, we will shoot. And there's like machine guns in their hands. So the internet right now is cut off in Iran, because they don't want this to get out, that they're basically slaughtering people.
Iran,
they don't want communication.
They have no WhatsApp, no Instagram, no nothing. They can't share their story. Yeah, they can't share their stories right now with us. So it's really important for us to keep sharing it for them, basically, because we know what's going on there.
Yeah,
you know?
And the amount of protests around Iran just show the population of Iran wants change. They want democracy. They want the freedom to choose whether to adhere to a dress code or not to adhere to a dress code. Like, people should not be being killed over a veil.
I mean, guys, honestly, it happened to me firsthand when I was in Iran, like about 6 years ago. I was walking the streets with my mom, my auntie,
you
man,
were getting
who was
pulled.
There. The morality police started, they grabbed me and they just started dragging me into, like, they were going to try and drag me into the vehicle. And I remember, like, what the hell is going on? And I just know my auntie jumped on them and my mum jumped on them, trying to pull me away and pull them away.
And it was literally like these videos that you see.
Yeah, honestly, it was like that. And they were like, no, in Farsi, they were saying, no, her trousers are too tight. She's not got the proper hijab on. And my mum and auntie were like, she's not from here. She's from England. She's not from here.
She can't speak Iranian.
She can't speak Iranian. And then...
But obviously we can, but we were born in the UK and we have the passports. You know, we were born in the UK. So, like, they are maybe a little bit, at that time, a little bit hesitant to...
Yeah.
To arrest someone from the UK.
And I just got lucky. Imagine, it could very easily have turned out the same way as many of these women that have been unfortunate to get, you know, tortured in these education centres that are meant to educate you.
The reason why so many women are scared and, like, fearful of being taken into these bans by morality police is because you really don't know. It's unpredictable what's going to happen, what the outcome is going to be. You could literally come out dead, like Mahsa Amini. But also, I want to shed light on how courageous and brave the women and men of Iran are right now to be going into the street collectively, all without their veil, and protesting, literally putting their life on the line for change. That should like show the sheer desperation of the people of Iran, that they're willing to die for change.
Yeah, and honestly, the last week has been really, really horrible. I mean, I've been so sad. I've shed so many tears. Mandy's shed so many tears.
I've been in a bad place mentally, definitely.
Yeah, I can't get it off my mind, this whole situation. And, you know, my dad hasn't been back in Iran for over 30 years. He's not allowed back in Iran. And I just pray that...
We're not allowed back.
And now, since Love Island as well, I'm not allowed back. Not only just since Love Island, but speaking out against the government... Definitely.
If you have a big public platform and you're speaking against the government, our own cousins in Iran and stuff, they're very careful about what they're posting on their Instagram and stuff. They're like very scared.
Yeah.
So none of us can go back, basically. We can't see our family. We can't go back there. They can't come here because they don't get visas, you know, because Iran's become like the enemy of every country now for the last 40 years.
So I just pray that my dad is able to go back and see his family. You know, he's an old man and... It's something that's really hard on him that he's not able to go back. It honestly makes me sad. And I want to stress again how this isn't about Islam. And we can say that because our own brother is a Islamic priest in Iran. And
he's just not like this.
He's not like this, though. He is a peaceful person.
And he believes people should have the choice.
Yeah, he believes people should have the choice. And that's what shows you that this is nothing to do with Islam.
What is the point of being enforced to do something that you obviously don't believe in? So obviously these women that don't want to wear a veil, they don't believe they should. So being forced, it just has no meaning to it. Do you know what I mean?
That's so true.
Has no emotional meaning to it. And like women who do wear the veil and believe in it, they're somebody that you say, wow, like, you know, that's her choice.
Yeah.
And so many Muslim women are actually participating and spreading awareness on this movement.
Oh yeah, I've seen loads of hijabi women.
Yeah, and they're like, no state, no government, no man should be telling me what to do and basically saying your life is on the line if you don't.
And killing young, innocent
women.
Yeah.
People, the government of Iran especially, will use propaganda to convince everyone that this is Islamophobia. They want people to go against the protesters and think, oh, they're against Islam, when they're not. They just want the freedom of choice. You know, a lot of Iranian women are Muslims, but they don't want to wear the veil. And I know a lot of Muslim women that don't wear the veil.
Yeah.
So it's just about have the rights over your body.
And guys, this is a shorter episode, but I just felt like it felt right to do this, you know, and we really hope that you do share Mahsa Amini and Iran's story and you help raise awareness
on the situation.
We really appreciate it. And
we'll be back next week with some banter. But for this week, out of respect for what the Iranian people are going through right now on the streets, dying on the streets, fighting for their freedom, we're going to keep it nice and short. And I can't say sweet, short and bitter.
Yeah. All right. We love you guys.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. Sisters in the City is part of the Acast Creator Network.